Brothers and sisters, today is the Feast of the Epiphany. An epiphany, as we heard in the announcements at the beginning of Mass, is the revelation of some great insight, some divine mystery. On Epiphany, we celebrate the day in which the presence of God among us was made known to the entire world. And often people think that the presence of God with us was made known to the entire world on Christmas. You know, after all, in the Christmas readings, we hear of angels appearing to shepherds in fields, announcing to them that a Savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord. But this announcement made by the angels was only made to a small group of chosen people. That is to say, it only reached men who were part of God's chosen people, men who were Jews. But today, the revelation that a Savior has been born reaches beyond the confines of the people of Israel. Today, God's presence is made known not just to the Jewish people, but to all nations. The three magi, or the three wise men, as we often call them, represent the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. By seeking out the newborn king and coming before him to give him homage, they're acknowledging what we know to be true, namely that Jesus is not just the king of a small group of select people, but that he is the Lord of all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. This is extremely important for us to understand. When God made his covenants in the Old Testament and promised Moses and Jeremiah that the Jews would be his chosen people, he didn't do so as a way of excluding others. Rather, when God established his covenants in the Old Testament, he was saying, "I will be your God and you will be my people." But he said this in a manner that was inclusive. For God chose the Jewish people for a purpose. They were the people through whom God would save the entire world. He chose them as an instrument to save all the nations. As we celebrate Epiphany today, we see how God saves the world through the Jewish people. And as we explore these readings, a model for our own salvation shines forth. Salvation for the Gentiles began when the Magi acknowledged that a king had been born. For us, our salvation begins when we recognize that we are not the Lord of our lives, that there is another who is to be our king. When the Magi realized that a king had been born, they made haste to meet him. And so they embarked on a grueling journey. Now, let me be very clear. The journey that the Magi took was not for the faint of heart. You know, we've got such wonderful and safe means of transportation that we often overlook how excruciating travel was in the first century. You know, for instance, last Wednesday, I flew from Cincinnati to Houston, and Saturday I'll fly back to Baltimore. And in the past month, I've also been to Indiana, New York, and Florida, and I've managed to move about the country with relative ease. But in Jesus' day, travel was much more difficult. When you left your city, you were truly in the wild. There were no paved roads leading from city to city. There were no rest stops along the way. There was no GPS. People who traveled were truly in the wild. And this was a dangerous endeavor. They risked being attacked by packs of wild animals and being attacked by bandits who were outside the city walls. They needed to make sure when they traveled they had enough food and water for the entirety of their journey. And they had to have a good sense of direction to guide them from point A to point B. Indeed, this was not something for the faint of heart. So when we hear of this journey being taken by the Magi, We shouldn't overlook the real challenge that these men faced. And yet, despite the obstacles that laid before them, the Magi proceeded to journey toward the king. And what a great image for our own salvation. Anyone who has been a Christian for more than a few days knows that this journey to Christ is not an easy journey. It's not simply a matter of jumping into a car or passing through a TSA checkpoint and boarding a plane. No, it's wrought with difficulties. Like the Magi, we're threatened by wild beasts. These beasts come in the form of temptations that attack us and throw us off course by leading us into sin. Similarly, there's no shortage of robbers who seek to take our gifts, not of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but the gift of faith that God has instilled in us. These robbers appear when our faith is oppressed by unjust laws that prevent us from living out our Christian life. They appear when we look at the news and find ourselves overcome with despair or with fear. Yet, despite these obstacles, we, like the Magi, embark on this journey. And we do so for one reason. We want to experience the joy of being in the presence of our King. We want to enter into a personal relationship with our God. In fact, this is the reason we came to Mass today. Our spiritual journey has led us here to this church. And we gather here to encounter Christ, who is truly present in the words of Scripture and in the sacrament of the Eucharist. Now notice that when the Magi encountered Christ, they pay him homage and they offer him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These gifts signify that they recognize Jesus as king, priest, and prophet. When we encounter Christ in the words of Scripture and in the Eucharist, where he's truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, we do so recognizing him as priest, prophet, and king. Then we're told that once the Magi paid him homage and laid their gifts at his feet, we're told that they departed by another way. Well, of course they did. How could they not? Nobody can come before the Lord and not be changed by that experience. And having been changed, they can't possibly go back the same way they came. Friends, this is true for us. When we encounter the Lord in the words of Scripture and in the sacraments, we must be changed. We can't possibly encounter Christ in the gospel or receive him into our own bodies and remain the same. No. After such an intimate encounter with God, you must be changed. You can't leave this building the same person as when you arrived earlier today. So today, when the deacon dismisses you at Mass, think about how this experience of Christ in the Word and in the sacrament of the Eucharist has changed you. And depart by a different route. And you could leave by a different door of this church building or take a different route home when you go home today. But don't leave the church the same as when you entered. Be transformed by that joy of having encountered Christ and return home by a different route as someone whose life has been changed by encountering Christ. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who encounter the newborn King.